After the singing of the choir, the next voice you will hear will be Reverend Christian, associate minister of this church. We ask that you pray with him, pray for him, that the Holy Spirit may use him. May God bless you. Sing choir.
I love to call on the name of Jesus. I love to call on the name of Jesus. I love to call on the name of Jesus. I love to call. Yes, I do. I love to call. There is power in the name of Jesus. So much power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. I love to call. Yes, I do. I love to call. Yes, I do. There is peace in the name of Jesus. So much peace in the name of Jesus. There is peace in the name of Jesus. I love to call. Yes, I do. I love to call. Yes, I do. There is love in the name of Jesus. So much love in the name of Jesus. There is love in the name of Jesus. I love to call. Yes, I do. I love to call. There is hope in the name of Jesus. So much hope in the name of Jesus. There is hope in the name of Jesus. I love to call. Yes, I do. I love to call. Yes, I do. I call him. I call him. I call Jesus early in the morning. I call him in the midnight hour. I say, oh, Jesus, oh, Jesus, Jesus, do you ever call him? Won't he make a way for you out of no way? He's a burden bearer. He's a heavy load. Yes, he is. Call him. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. I love to call on the name of Jesus. Call on the name of Jesus. I love to call on the name of Jesus. I love to call. Yes, I do. I love to call. Yes, I do. I call him. I call him. I call him. Oh, he's Mary's baby. He's bread in a starving land. I call him. He'll be your mother and your father. He'll be your sister. Won't he be your brother? I like to call him. I like to call him. I love to call on the name of Jesus. I love to call on the name of Jesus. I love to call on the name of Jesus. I love to call. Yes, I do. I love to call. Yes, I do. Of the Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Yes, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Yes.
Oh, yeah. Songwriter said, I like to call on the name Jesus. I don't know about how you feel about him, but there is a name I love to hear. I love to sing his worth. It sounds like music to my ear. The sweetest name on earth. He's been good to me. In fact, he's been better than good to me. And the thing about I like about Jesus is every time I call him, he don't pretend like he don't hear me. You know how when we was growing up, mama used to call your name and you pretended like you didn't hear her calling you? But Jesus is the type of person that whenever you call him, he's always listening. In fact, I think he loved to hear his name called. For he said in his word that he inhabit the praises of his people. When praises go up, we understand and we can testify that blessings come down. We do give reverence to the Spirit of God and to our pastor, Reverend Dr. Jonah Nixon, in his absence. To our leading lady, Sister Nixon. To my fellow preachers, Reverend Gardner, Reverend Tyson, Reverend Bess. To our wives, to the chairman of the deacon ministry, Deacon Nobles, and the deacons, to the chairman of the deaconess ministry, Deaconess Nobles, and the deaconess, to the ushers, Sister Richardson, to you, my brothers and sisters in Christ, and even to the spectators that may be here wondering what the preacher going to say, we greet you as well. We're glad to be here on this first Sunday in the month of April in the year of 2014. They said it's officially spring. And as we're preparing for the Passion of Christ, we're glad to stand on this morning. I would like to thank our pastor for entrusting me to stand on this day. Amen. And we ask that you keep him in your prayers, not only him, but also Reverend Tyson. Keep him in your prayers as well. I'm not going to try to, I'm going to try not to preach too long. Y'all hear, I'm going to try not to. But it depends on your cooperation. But because preaching is a dialogue. It's me speaking and you speaking back to me. It's not a monologue. Monologue is when I speak and you don't say anything. And if you don't know how to say anything, say amen or say ouch. But say something. Amen. Scripture that we want to talk from this morning was read in our responsive reading, Paul's first letter to the church of Corinth, chapter 11. And we want to lift up just a few verses, verses 23 through 26. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 26. When you have it, say amen. Amen. If you need a little more help, say, preacher, hold on. Paul's instruction to the church at Corinth, chapter 11. Verse 23 reads, "For I received from the Lord that which also I delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes.'" For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. This morning, I'm going to preach from the subject, a time to remember. A time to remember. Lord, our Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time of preaching. Pray that you, Lord, take Kareem Christian down. My Father, from the people seeing me, my Father, hide me behind the cross of Calvary. Let them not see me, but let them hear you, my Father, through me, my Father. Pray that you, Lord, let me, Lord, guard my mind from distraction, my lips from error, and my heart from pride, that I may not be puffed up, my Father, but that you may receive all the honor, the praise, and the glory. Father, use me that somebody may be blessed, that somebody may be encouraged, that somebody may have a closer walk with you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we do pray. Amen. Amen. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death until he comes. Tap your neighbor and say, neighbor, this is a time to remember. The world has had many technological inventions, many devices that had enabled us to encapture and to enjoy history. Mm-hmm. Before modern technology that we have today, before there was a Microsoft or Apple, before computers and media clouds, before file storing and file sharing, before Google, AOL, or Yahoo, before Adobe, before TMZ, before there was a tabloids or CNN, before there was a Facebook, Skype, Instagram, Snapchat, or tweets, way before digital downloads and digital uploads, even before there was cell phones and camcorders, there was an invention of a piece of the equipment called a camera. A camera's sole reason of invention was to capture photos of images that individuals deemed as important keepsakes moments. Photography allows people the opportunity to have a visual evidence of good memories as well as bad memories. Photos are things that each one of us visit from time to time to remember people, places, and events that we hold dear to our hearts. A photo enables us to look into the past. I have in my home office, sitting on my desk, a photo of my mother who passed away 18 years ago. Next to her photo, I have a picture of me and my lovely bride, my wife, that we took on our wedding day. Now, these photos are things that I hold dear to my heart because it enabled me to look back on joyous moments. Photography has made it possible for me to revisit in my mind the days that the photo was taken. In a spiritual sense, God, through the written word, has given us visual evidence of what happened in the past. God, he wanted to leave on record with us today so that we can look back at some important keepsake moments in history. The photo that we're looking at today has stood the test of time. It has been passed down from generation to generations for over 2,014 years. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ are the person, the place, and the time we risk to revisit on today. As we said in the subject, it is a time to remember. Ever since the early church, Christians have met in fellowship for fellowship in homes, in temples, in churches, wherever they could remember, whatever they could gather to remember the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We call this time of remembrance Communion Sunday. But it is my belief that out of all the things that we do as a congregation, this day of communion is the most important day that we observe. We are to put more attention in Communion Sunday than we put in any other day that we have on the church calendar. Jesus left two commandments for the church to observe. One of the commandments that he told us to observe is baptism. And the second commandment is the Lord's Supper. The observance of communion should cause a sense of humility as well as appreciation as we meditate on the message behind the service. Far too often, communion celebration is looked upon just as something that we do every first Sunday. Some believe it's just a time where we dressed up in white and pass out some crackers and some grape juice. This day, my brothers and sisters, is more important. And this day is just not any other day. It's more about than eating crackers
It's more to this day than drinking some grape juice. This is a day that is holy unto God. And it should be holy unto us. Communion wasn't something that was instituted by the Geneva Convention. This day was not something that was approved to be observed by a bunch of theologians. Nor was this day something that came down from the Pope's seat in Rome. This observance of communion has not been instituted by man. But communion, the Lord's Supper, was instituted by Jesus Christ. The Bible said on the night in which he was betrayed. It was instituted in a room in Jerusalem called the Upper Room. It's an opportunity to worship God for what happened on our behalf at Calvary. Yes, communion, the Lord's Supper, is a time that we can reflect on the image of Jesus Christ, of what he did for us that we couldn't do for ourselves. And to put it simple, the Lord's Supper is a time of remembrance. As I preach this message this morning, I want us to imagine in our minds the photo of the man who sacrificed all for the world. Turn with me in your imaginations as we look through the photo album of time and eternity. The Lord's Supper, as it said, is a time to remember what Jesus did. A time to remember what communion is all about. Why we're here to commune on this first Sunday. The Passover meal was a meal that was observed to remember what God did in Egypt for the children of Israel. When the death angel passed over the houses of those that had the blood over the doorposts. Y'all remember how God commanded Moses? He said, because Pharaoh would not harden unto my voice. Because Pharaoh have a hard heart. I want you to go, Moses. I want you to get the children of Israel. I want you to gather them together. And I want each family to get them a lamb. A baby lamb, to be exact. And I want y'all to raise the lamb with y'all in the house for a whole week. And there's going to come a time at the end of the week. I want you to take the lamb. And I want you to kill it. But I don't want you to waste the blood. I want you to capture the blood. And when you capture the blood of the lamb, I want you to put it over the doorposts of each house. Because Pharaoh would not harden unto my voice. Because Pharaoh have a hard head. What I'm going to do, I'm going to destroy, I'm going to kill every firstborn in the land. But the houses that have the blood, I will spare. The Bible says, on the night that God have commanded Moses, each house that had the blood, the death angel hopped over. And since that day, the children of Israel has been observing the Passover. Every time they ate the Passover meal, they were reminded of what God did for them in bringing them out of Egypt into the promised land. This meal was symbolic to the Messiah who was prophesied to come and to deliver the children of Israel from the grip of death. When Jesus took the Passover meal with the disciples, he gave them the fulfilling meaning of the prophecy. And Jesus explained to the disciples as they was gathered in the upper room. He said, I want to let you know what the Passover is really all about. Man, because of Adam's sin, has been separated from God. And in order for us to be reconciled back unto God, he required a blood sacrifice. For the writer of Hebrews said it best, that without the shedding of the blood, there is no remission for sins. God in the Garden of Eden shed the first blood when he covered Adam's sin. And from that time forward, blood of animals were the requirements under the law. I'm reminded about the sacrifice that they had a line in the book of Leviticus. In the days of the law, the priest had what was called a scapegoat. This goat, when the priest would lay both of his hands on his head, then the priest would confess the sins of the people. And as a result of both of his hands being laid upon the goat heads, the sins of the people were imputed unto the goats. That is, the sins of the people was transferred to the goats. Then the goat was led away by a fit man into the wilderness. And the goat carried away the sins of the people so that they were not sought to be found anymore. Will God forgive you for your sins? He separated them as far as the east is from the west, so they would not rise up against you in the judgment. Now Jesus is describing to the disciples how he is the Lamb of God. His job was not to come to bring healings. His job wasn't simply to come to open up blind eyes. He didn't just come to heal the leprosy. He just didn't come to cool fevers. He just didn't come to heal women of their issues. He just didn't come to heal men of their issues. But he came to offer himself as a sacrifice for the sins of the world. The priests and the rulers, when they pronounced him guilty, God himself laid his hands upon the head of Jesus. God himself imputed our sins upon him. For the Bible says that the Lord had laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was made sin for us. He was sinless and we are sinners. He was the substitute for our guilt. He bore upon his shoulders our sins at the cross. He told them, "This is my body, which is for you. This do in remembrance of me." The Bible says in the same way, he took the cup. And after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do you as often as you drink of in remembrance of me." God wants us to remember what he did for us. And every time we take communion, every time we sit down at the Lord's Supper, we're reminded that the law could not save us. We're reminded that everything we tried to do to keep the law was void. We realize that we could not save ourselves. And we remember what Jesus done for us to be saved. I'm reminded of a story of a man from Portland, Oregon. The story talks about a man who received a Medal of Honor. He was an African-American soldier from the South. This soldier with several buddies was in the trench during the Viet Cong War. The Viet Cong had attacked the soldiers when they threw a grenade in the trench when the soldiers was hiding. Without hesitation, the soldier, he encircled himself around the grenade with his body. He took the full force of the explosion. His commanding officer, in making the citation, said that his sacrifice was heroic. For he had saved the lives of others who were down in the trenches. But my brothers and sisters, in the spiritual sense, Jesus' sacrifice was the same thing as the soldier. He took his body and he covered us with his body so that we would not take the blow of death. Because the Bible said that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. The sacrifice that God made, digging nobles, was a costly sacrifice. God took who he was. God took a little bit of himself and put it in the body of Jesus Christ. He left heaven and manifested himself in a human body. He became poor so that we all could become rich. But the Bible says, Paul telling the church of Corinth, for you know that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for our sakes, became he poor, that we through the poverty may be rich. I may not have $1 million in my account, but I'm still rich. I may not own houses and lands, but I'm still rich. I may not have a Bentley or Jaguar, but I'm still rich. I may not can make it rain, but I'm still rich. I got my Lord and Savior riches and glory. If I'm reminded if I'm a child of God, then I'm rich. Because my Father is rich. He owned 1,000 hills. The silver and the gold of the world belongs to him. Everything in the world belongs to my daddy. And because I'm a child of my daddy, that transferred down to me. In other words, I am rich. And I don't know about you, my brothers and sisters, but you are rich too. Stop walking around talking about how broke you are. Begin to tap into the resources that you have in heaven. Because we serve a God who is rich. He's rich. And because he's rich, we're rich. Not only did he sacrifice himself for us, but the Bible says that he willingly offered himself for us. Nobody had to beg him to do it, but he did it by choice. For we read in the book of Revelations that they were searching heaven, seeing who can untie the seals from the book. They searched around heaven and they searched around earth and they couldn't find. No man could do it. Adam said, I can't do it because I'm a sinful man. Abraham said, I can't do it because I'm a liar. Noah said, I can't do it because I'm a drunk. David said, I can't do it because I'm a fornicator. They asked the question, well, who can unloose the seals of the book? They said, no man can do it. Jesus said, Father, prepare me a body. And I will go down and redeem man. Nobody had to force Jesus to do it, but he did it willingly. He said, prepare me a body that I may go down and redeem man. The Bible said that he left the foul lands of glory, came down 40 in 2 generations. Though he was rich, he became poor for our sakes. The Bible said he went to a hill called Calvary. Out there on Calvary's hill, the Bible said they stretched him wide and they hung him long. The Bible said that he was wounded for all our transgressions. The Bible said that he was wounded for all our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon his shoulders. And by his stripes, we all are healed. We're celebrating today because we remember what God has done for us. He gave himself for us that we may all have eternal life. I don't know about how you feel about it, but I'm glad that he redeemed my soul. I'm glad I don't have to spend eternity in hell. I'm glad that I have a new home in heaven. I'm glad that Jesus gave himself for my sins and for your sins. For the Bible said that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe on him should not perish but have everlasting life. Whosoever includes the drug addicts, whosoever includes the gangbangers, whosoever includes those who are outside out of the ark of safety. I'm so glad that he included me in that whosoever, because whosoever believe on him should not perish but have everlasting life. A time to remember. A time to remember. The Lord's Supper is a time to remember what it's all about. If y'all give me 15 more minutes, I promise I will take my seat. The Lord's Supper is also a time to remember how we're to come to the communion table. It's not just about what we do that is important, but it's how we do what we do that makes the difference. The Lord's Supper is a time of self-examination. For the Bible said, let a man, come on, examine himself. When I was growing up, we were taught that we could not sit down at mama's table without making sure that our hands and our faces were washed. Y'all got the same mama? Y'all was raised the same way? And when I would come to the Lord, to my mama's table, she would examine my hands. Because sometimes, did you wash your cream? Did you wash your hands? Y'all wash my hands. You know how kids do. Y'all wash my hands. Then she would take my hands and she would examine my hands to make sure they was clean. But if mama required that of us, when we sat down at mama's table, how much more do God require of us when we sit down at his table? Let a man examine himself. I can't examine you, and you can't examine me. But you all got to examine our own selves. Michael Jackson wrote a song in the past. Look at the man in the mirror. Before you talk about my sins, make sure. Come on now. Before you talk about how short her dress is, you will wear the same dress if you could fit in it. Examine yourself. Before you talk about sister so-and-so or brother so-and-so, make sure you examine. How can you examine me when I have a little speck in my eye? When you have a whole being in your own. I don't know about you, but if walls can talk, it would tell all of our business. Each one of us has some skeletons in the closet. Your skeletons may not be my skeletons, and my skeletons may not be your skeletons, but we all have skeletons in the closet. I'm the first one to admit I don't have it all together. I'm the first one to admit that sometimes I sin. Sometimes I mess up. Sometimes I slip up. Sometimes I fall. Sometimes I make mistakes. I admit that I'm wrong. I admit that I don't have it all together. So every time at night I examine my own self and I ask God to forgive me for all of my sins. Let a man examine himself. Clean up your own. Clean up your own mess before you try to talk about mine. For the Bible said that all, the Greek word for all is all. The Hebrew word for all is all. Yeah. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The Bible said for those of us who think that we're super spiritual, if you say that you have no sin, then the truth is not in you. Everybody sinned by omission. Everybody sinned by commission. Everybody sinned knowingly. Some of us sinned unknowingly. But the truth of the matter is that we got to examine ourselves. And when we sit down, make sure we examine our hearts. You can't take the communion if your heart is not right with God. Make sure you examine your heart. Make sure that you are in fellowship one with another. I see us sometimes, we speak just to be cordial. I see us sometimes, we go the opposite direction when we see that person coming our way. Something is wrong with our hearts. In the Corinthian church, they had what was called a love feast. Now the love feast was designed so that it was enough food for everybody. It was enough hot maws. It was enough chitlins. It was enough fat bag. It was enough everything for everybody to eat. Whether you was kosher or unkosher. They had beef ribs. They had baby bags. They had everything. It was enough food for everybody to eat. But in the Corinthian church, there was those who rushed in the church. And they ate everything and didn't leave no room for nobody else, Steve. They made sure that they ate and didn't worry about nobody else. Sometimes we set up cliques. My Lord have mercy. Sometimes we have our cliques and divisions in the church. We will make sure those who are in the inside of our clique, we will make sure that they have. But if you're not in the clique, come on now. How can we rightfully take communion when we are in division one with another? The reason why we divide the bread. The reason why the bread is not a whole loaf. The reason why it was divided. It was given to each person. And so that each person could fellowship one with another. And not only was it broken, but nobody ate, but everybody ought to eat together. There's meaning to everything we do in the church. Nobody should eat before the other. But we should all eat down together. Make sure there's no division. Paul, he chastised them. He said, what, you don't have houses or homes to eat and drink in? He said, you come to my house to eat and drink and party. You don't have houses and homes to do that in? He said, when you're going to come together, come for fellowship. But make sure that everybody is enjoying the fellowship. It's a time that we must examine ourselves. And finally, my brothers and sisters, it's a time of celebration. It's a time to celebrate the expected return of Christ. But as the Bible says, when you eat, take this bread, and when you drink this wine, you do show the Lord death till he come. The Lord's Supper not only look back at Christ's sacrifice, not only do we praise God for the gift of salvation, but it's also a time to look ahead to the day when we will see Jesus Christ again. The text says that we do show the Lord's death until he come. Well, my brother says, I thank you, and I enjoyed myself on this morning. I had a good time in fellowship. I had to leave you here on this morning. But before I go, I want to remind you that we ought to wait the expected return of Jesus Christ. I had great expectation the night before my wedding, when I took my boo to be my bride. I had great expectation sitting by my wife's side in the delivery room as we awaited the arrival of all three of our children. As great as those expectations were, I have a greater expectation. I'm expecting to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, he died for us. Yes, he rose for us. Yes, he's seated at the right hand of God, our Father, interceding on our behalf. But that is not the end of the story. Because the Bible says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have not told you. But I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be also. That's something good to remember. I hear Paul encouraging the believers of all ages. He said Jesus is going to send Gabriel. He's not going to send Gabriel or Michael to get us. But he said that the Lord should descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then when we which are alive and remain should be caught up together and meet them in the clouds. I don't know about you, but I have a good time when my family get together. But I'm expecting another good time when there's going to be another family reunion. One day soon and very soon. I don't know when and I don't know where. But I do know that he is coming back. I know he's coming back to receive a church to himself. And every time I take the communion service, I'm reminded of the promises that God had made to me. And I realize that God, he never fails in keeping his promise. He promised to keep us, and he kept us. He promised to lead us, and he leave us. He promised that one day he's coming back for to get us. I don't know about you, but soon, and very soon, I'm going home to live with Jesus. I'm packing up every day and every hour. I got my ticket already stamped. Soon and very soon, I'm going to have to leave this here body. Soon, I'm going to have to go where travelers have never known to return. I'm going over to the sweet field of Jerusalem. I'm going over to that new city that they tell me is paved with gold. Over there in the new Jerusalem. They tell me that there is no more whining. There is no more crying. They tell me over there in Jerusalem, there is no more dying. They tell me over there in Jerusalem, there is no more health issues. They tell me over there in Jerusalem that you are not going to need no light to light up the day, because Christ's light going to light up the whole city. I don't know about you, but I'm going back with him one day. And when I get to heaven, I want to stop by Mama's table. I want to tell Mama, I'm glad you're here. When I get to heaven, I want to stop by my grandma's table. I want to say, Grandma, I'm glad you're here. When I get to heaven, I'm going to stop by my great-grandmother's table. I want to say, Grandma, I'm glad you're here. When I get to heaven, I want to stop by my uncle's table. I want to say, Uncle, I'm glad you're here. But I'm not going to stop at those tables. When I get to heaven, I'm going to stop by my great-uncle's table, saying, Great-uncle, I'm glad you're here. When I get to heaven, I'm going to stop by and I'm going to see Adam. I'm going to say, Adam, I'm glad you're here. When I get to heaven, I'm going to stop by and see Noah. I'm going to say, Noah, I'm glad you're here. But that's not what I'm going to keep on. I'm going to keep on pressing on a little higher. I'm going to stop by and see Abraham. Say, Abraham, I'm glad you're here. I'm going to stop by and see Sarah. Say, Sarah, I'm glad you're here. I'm going to stop by and see Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Say, I'm glad that you're here. But that's not the end of my journey. I'm going to step up a little higher. I'm going to step up a little higher. I'm going to see the angels up in heaven. Sitting down at the feet of Jesus. I'm going to see angels, excuse me. But I got to see the man from Galilee. I got to see my Jesus for myself. And he's all right. And he's all right. And he's all right. I'm going to see Jesus. I'm going to see the man who died for my sins. I'm going to see the man who gave it all for me. One day, I'm going to behold the wounds in his hands. One day, I'm going to behold the wounds in his side. And I'm going to thank him for what he did for me. I'm going to praise him for what he did for me. For he didn't have to do it. But he did. Until that day, I'm going to stay close to the cross. I'm going to stay close to one another. This is a time to remember. A time to remember. Doors of the church are open. Yes, yes. Church are open. There may be somebody after hearing the message this morning. You want to come and reunite with Christ.
Was hate.
You want to come as a candidate for baptism. You want to come on a Christian experience. You want to come and give God your all. Now is the time.
Well, there was confusion.
If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior,
peace.
Now is the time.
Now
is the time. If you have fellowship with Christ, but you want to have a relationship with Christ, now is the time.
With Jesus.
Now is the time.
I'm a child of the King. And from sin, I've been redeemed. Oh, yeah.
Amen. You may be seated.
Well, there, out for it, I'll tell of his love.
Let's praise God for our preacher this morning.